Carnivores Don't Get Sunburn. Hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
We as heart surgeons are busier than ever. Well, the most noticeable trend that I'm seeing is the patients are getting younger and younger. Life expectancy here in the U.S. has started to decrease. Heart disease remains far and away the number one killer. My role ultimately as a physician is to be a healer. I think at the crux of our problem is that we've been so focused on cholesterol that we essentially ignore the rest of the picture. I think the simple root causes of heart disease are.
Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the Power of a Proper Human Diet. And today I'm thankful, grateful, and blessed to have Dr. Philip Ovadia on the channel. How's it going?
Great to be with you again, Carrie. Love everything you're doing for the documentary. Looking forward to taking part in it and just helping people understand how to heal themselves.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was so nice meeting you out in Austin. And I just, for people that are watching, I just wanted to give you one more shout out and thank you, because I'm about 500 days on carnivore now. And I'm gonna get choked up. It's changed my life forever. And it's because of good doctors like you. I was so misled and down the rabbit hole of medication and focusing on the wrong things. And one of your videos really inspired me, because I was diagnosed with congestive heart failure, an irregular heartbeat. My 13-year-old daughter had open heart surgery, lost loved ones to heart disease. So I was excited about eating a proper human diet, ketogenic diet, but I was also very fearful, because I'm going to clog my arteries. I'm going to have a heart attack. This is dangerous. I saw a video you did. I think it was on Diary of a CEO.
Dr. Philip Ovadia,
the world-renowned heart doctor,
has conducted over 3,000 heart surgeries.
And it led me to another video, and it taught me a lot of things that I wish I knew a long time ago about metabolic health and things that I probably should have been more worried about than, like, cholesterol numbers or eating fatty meat. So thank you so much. I always want to shout out the good doctors like you guys, because so many people are healing, and I don't think a lot of them would be doing it without the reassurance of doctors like you online. So really appreciate you.
Yeah, and I certainly appreciate that. And you know what I would say is, don't feel bad that you didn't know this and that you were kind of misled, because the reality is, I can say the same thing. And you know, as physicians, we get taught a certain narrative, and you know, somewhere along the line, some of us have figured out that that may not be the whole truth. And a lot of it does come from personal experiences. And a lot of it comes from seeing the experiences of our patients. And hopefully, you know, more and more doctors are opened to the possibility that what we were taught may not be the whole story.
Absolutely. If we could, could we start out? Could you just give us maybe a little bit about your background and what led you to become a heart surgeon?
Yeah, sure thing. So I have now been a cardiac surgeon, a heart surgeon, for over 20 years. And throughout my early life, my childhood, I always knew I wanted to be a doctor. And my parents will actually say that I said specifically I wanted to be a surgeon. And the reality is I'm not sure that I would have known what a surgeon was or what they did. I don't have other doctors in my family. I don't come from a long line of surgeons or anything like that. But for whatever reason, you know, I believed I wanted to be a doctor. And as I went through my education, that stayed strong. And ultimately, you know, went through medical school and then started my training to become a surgeon. And at the time that I did it, the way that it worked is you trained as what's called a general surgeon first, meaning that you do all sorts of areas of surgery, abdominal surgery, chest surgery, vascular surgery. And then I was particularly drawn to heart surgery because of the combination of the kind of technical aspects of it. It's very sort of detailed technical work when you're working on these blood vessels and the valves of the heart, and then also the physiology that goes along with it. Obviously, the heart is one of our most vital organs, and there's a lot of, you know, physiology involved in the functioning of the heart, and that kind of combination of the two is really what drew me to become a heart surgeon. And so I went through the extra training to become a heart surgeon, not easy to do. And I've now been in practice as a heart surgeon for over 20 years. During much of that time, the other sort of relevant part of the story is I was a very unhealthy heart surgeon. I had reached a point where I was morbidly obese. I was pre-diabetic. I had struggled with obesity really my entire life. Obesity is common in my family. And I came to a point that I recognized that I was going to end up on my own operating table, so to speak. You know, I was following that same path that so many of my patients followed. And like so many of them, I really didn't know what to do about it because I was following the advice I had been taught to give. You know, all of the stuff that we heard, that you heard, you know, eat a low fat diet, eat less, move more, count your calories, eat according to the food pyramid. It wasn't working for me. It wasn't working for my patients. And that ultimately led me to start asking some different questions. And I was fortunate to start to come across some different information and be curious enough to follow that along. And that has what led to my personal health transformation, now having lost 100 pounds, reversed diabetes, as well as my professional transformation, where I am now increasingly focused on keeping people off the operating table.
How is that like, that transition? Because it's got to be amazing performing heart surgery on someone and saving their life. And now you're educating people online and saving more lives or putting people on the right path at a much larger scale. And what's that like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's humbling, honestly, to do both. And I continue to do both. I continue to work as a heart surgeon, and I have my practice focused on, you know, keeping people off the operating table. And, you know, what I have come to recognize is almost every patient that ends up on my operating table is a failure of the medical system. We, as physicians, we as practitioners, have failed that person if we have let them get to the point where they have now developed advanced heart disease, because this is a completely preventable situation in most cases. There are some outliers, you know, that maybe aren't that case. But for the vast majority of people that end up on my operating table, it's because the medical system has failed them. And no matter how good I might be as a surgeon, no matter how good all the heart surgeons out there are, you're never as good after you had the surgery as you would have been if you didn't need the surgery in the first place. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's my role ultimately as a physician, is to be a healer, is to help people really be in their best health. And if I can get to them early enough so that we can prevent them from needing heart surgery, that is what I consider to be ideal. But I also am blessed and humbled to have the ability to help those people that were failed by the system. that didn't hear this information and, you know, end up with advanced heart disease. And of course, we then need to intervene to save their life or improve their life. But when you get me as a surgeon these days, it also comes with the information about we're doing the surgery, we're dealing with the problem in front of us, but we got to change what led to you needing the surgery in the first place as well.
So you've been doing this for about 20 years or so. What sort of trends are you seeing in terms of heart disease?
Well, the most noticeable trend that I'm seeing is the patients are getting younger and younger. When I started my career, you know, 20, 25 years ago, going through my training, we operated on 70 and 80 year olds for the most part. There were some 60 year olds and the 50 year olds were kind of unusual. Today, I routinely am operating on 40 year olds. And so we're seeing heart disease develop earlier and earlier. And of course, I recognize that this is because metabolic disease is happening earlier and earlier. You know, we routinely see teenagers being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes these days. And this is very scary. This is an accelerating trend. And, you know, if we don't confront it, if we don't start to change that, we're going to find ourselves in a very bad place. Many people are probably aware that for the first time, you know, in the last 100 or so years that we've been tracking this, life expectancy here in the U.S. has started to decrease. And yeah, there were some effects of COVID that led to some of that decrease. But the reality is that the metabolic crisis, which includes the heart disease crisis, is a big contributor. The other noticeable trend over my career, when I was training to be, when I made the choice to, you know, go through heart surgery training, a lot of my surgical mentors discouraged me. They said, that's a dying field. Heart disease is going to be going away. We have, this was right around the time where statins had become commonplace. And the feeling was that there wasn't going to be any heart surgery to do in 20 years. And here I am 20 years later. We as heart surgeons are busier than ever. Heart disease remains far and away the number one killer here in the United States and worldwide. And heart disease not only isn't going away, its incidence is increasing. So those are two very troublesome trends that I have seen in what I consider to be a relatively short career. 20 years is not that long a time on the, you know, grand scale of things. And we see noticeable worsening in both of these trends.
For myself, my former self, and frankly, a lot of people out there, they hear what I'm eating. They're worried about cholesterol. You're going to clog your arteries. That's what I was always worried about. You got to eat low fat sort of thing. What should people really be worried about? Like, is there a root cause of heart disease that you can simplify, I guess, for people?
Quick interruption. Thank you so much for watching. If you're interested in learning more about our documentary, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet, or supporting it, please visit donate.healinghumanity.movie. Our goal is to reach millions of people that are hopeless right now, and sharing the examples of real people over the course of 1 year that are undertaking a proper human diet to overcome obesity, type 2 diabetes, depression, anxiety, fertility issues. We couldn't do it without you. We thank you so much. We are also selling these shirts, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet. Every penny we get from those goes towards the documentary. And last, we have memberships. If you click the little join button, it's best to do it on desktop. Under any one of my YouTube videos, you can join and become a member. We have hundreds of members right now. We do members-only videos. We do members-only behind the scenes. You can email me as a member and I'll answer you. And every penny from that goes to support the documentary. And the last thing is we have these Redmond's portable salt shakers. These things are awesome. You can get the best salt. You can take it with you. We sell these on the website along with our water bottles and cutting boards, and every penny from all of those goes 100% towards supporting the documentary. You can also sign up for our newsletter, which is completely free. All of these links are in the description below. Thank you so much for your support. Now back to today's video.
Yeah, I think the simple root causes of heart disease are inflammation and insulin resistance. And those two are related, but, you know, they can also occur sort of independent of each other. But these are the true root causes of heart disease. What I tell people about cholesterol, about lipids, is it's not that they're irrelevant. It's just that they're downstream from those root causes. And when it comes to cholesterol, I try and get people to focus on the quality of your cholesterol, not the quantity of your cholesterol. And that cholesterol quality is affected by insulin resistance and inflammation. So that is really what the root cause that I believe we should be focused on is. And, you know, the scientific literature, the studies support this. I did a talk a number of years ago for one of the low carb meetings where I went through every paper that I could find that had a comparison of the risk associated with high cholesterol and the risk associated with insulin resistance when it came to cardiovascular disease. And in every one of those papers, the magnitude of risk associated with insulin resistance was much higher than the magnitude of risk associated with increased cholesterol. So this is, you know, I think at the crux of our problem is that we've been so focused on cholesterol that we essentially ignore the rest of the picture, the insulin resistance and the inflammation. And when you take care of the insulin resistance and you take care of the inflammation, the cholesterol is probably no longer an issue. So that's kind of how I think about heart disease these days and how I talk to patients about heart disease these days.
So if we really simplify it, it's from eating processed foods and sugar and things that we weren't intended to that causes the inflammation and insulin resistance for the most part?
Yeah, that's certainly a major factor. There are other factors. There are other lifestyle factors. There are things like smoking, which certainly contribute to inflammation. But the primary driver of insulin resistance certainly seems to be ultra-processed food, which includes sugar and highly refined carbohydrates, and also includes processed oils, vegetables, seed oils, that both independently and certainly combined can really wreak havoc on our, you know, the development of insulin resistance.
If heart disease is going up because we have poor metabolic health, inflammation, insulin resistance, then prior to this, like 1800s or something, wouldn't we have had much less heart disease, heart attacks, things like that? Is there any stats or data on any of that?
Yeah, there's very good statistics on this. So, you know, we first can go back to sort of, the leading physicians of the late 1800s, and some of them published sort of their life experience. And you see very little, if any, mention of heart disease in what they were treating. And then, you know, we really started to track heart disease statistics here in the U.S., as far as I'm aware, right around 1900 is when we started to track it. And again, it was a pretty rare disease back then. And we started to see a steady incline, a steady increase in the amount of heart disease in the early 1900s. And then around the mid 1900s, you know, shortly after World War II, 1950s, we really start to see an acceleration of this trend. Here in the U.S., it really came to the forefront of public awareness. 1955 is when President Eisenhower had a heart attack while in office. And, you know, that appropriately set off the alarm bells. And that really started the question of what is causing heart disease. And unfortunately, around that same time, some choices were made about where to focus our efforts on heart disease, you know, prevention and treatment. And we may have made some choices that in retrospect were misinformed, I guess is one way to say it.
A nice way to say it.
Yeah.
If you were to give my former self advice, like back in the day when I was overweight and unhealthy, congestive heart failure, irregular heartbeat, I was told to avoid fat. I was cutting fat off of my meat. I was eating low fat salad dressing, which probably had a whole bunch of seed oils in it and other unnatural items as well. What advice would you give to me or someone that's watching this right now that is concerned about fat and not necessarily concerned about their metabolic health?
Yeah, so I would give them the same advice that I ultimately gave myself about 8 years ago, which was, you know, low carbohydrate, eliminate processed food. For me, it really starts with eat whole, real food. And I believe, you know, the majority of that food should be animal protein, and with the fat that comes with it. We, you know, evolved eating these foods, and we ate these foods for millions of years as human beings and didn't seem to have any issues with heart disease. And then all of a sudden, when we started to introduce more sugar, you know, these fake oils, processed food in general, that's when we saw this heart disease epidemic taking off. You know, certainly what I ended up doing to improve my health, what you ended up doing to improve your health, and so many that we've seen these days have done is, you know, low carbohydrate, primarily animal, you know, protein focused. Some of us, you know, go full bore into carnivore. And, you know, as most people watching this probably know, you know, that's largely how I maintain my life. And that's how you maintain your life. And we've seen great results from it. And we have a ever enlarging community now that's getting similar results. And honestly, that's the same advice I give my patients these days. Low carb, whole real food, and you can eat all of the red meat, all of the animal products that you want. They are not harming your heart. They never were the problem. And it's just so unfortunate that we have all of this history around this bad advice that is so hard to overcome these days. Because when they hear from a heart surgeon that you can eat all of the red meat you want, it's certainly shocking to most people. And then, you know, it takes a lot to really explain why I say that, why I'm so confident saying that, and why that's what I do myself.
Yeah, it's so ingrained in people's brains. It's hard to get them to understand. For me, carnivore is what's worked best. But if I simplify it even more, I realize I'm just kind of returning to what's natural for humans. All these seed oils and processed things, even like some of the produce, people say, why can't you just have broccoli? Some of the produce nowadays, it's got pesticides in it. It's got glyphosate in it. It's got defense mechanisms in it. It seems like given the current scenario, if you go in the grocery store, eating meat and eggs, beef, butter, bacon, eggs, seems like the cleanest I can eat personally, given the options that are out there, and feel incredible doing it. I'm never hungry. It feels natural. It feels like that's one of the takeaways with this documentary I've been learning, because initially this was all going to be about carnivore diet. Now I'm like, it's just as humanity's gotten further and further away from what's natural, we're getting sicker and sicker. You mentioned cigarettes before. That's like a prime example, like lighting a piece of paper on fire, putting it in your mouth. Pretty unnatural. You end up with cancer. You end up with all sorts of issues. And then all these seed oils and everything so highly processed. We've just gotten so far away from things. So Dr. Ovadia, I like to simplify things. I heard this analogy. I wanted to run it by you to see if this is true or fair or if it's off base. It made me understand things a little bit better. Because I still get the cholesterol thing from people. That's the first thing they ask me. You've been doing carnivore almost 500 days. What's your cholesterol? I heard someone say this. I want to know if it's true. And what they said was, if you imagine in the United States, there were about 350,000 house fires last year. And if you look at that data, in almost every instance, firemen showed up. And so if you looked at that data, you could come to the conclusion, firemen cause house fires. And this analogy the person was making was saying it's kind of similar with cholesterol. If you look when someone has heart disease, you see cholesterol there. The cholesterol is getting blamed for the heart disease. But in reality, the cholesterol may be going there to heal inflammation or something else. Is that a fair analogy?
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, cholesterol is basically the body's repair mechanism for the damage that's being done to our blood vessels. And that damage is from inflammation and insulin resistance. And the problem becomes that if you keep doing the damage, and especially if the cholesterol itself is damaged, which is one of the effects from insulin resistance, that's when we start to see this plaque buildup, this atherosclerosis that, you know, leads to heart disease and leads to people having heart attacks. And, you know, I think that is a very fair analogy, that the cholesterol is getting blamed, but it wasn't the cholesterol that started the problem. And that's why we go back to insulin resistance and inflammation, because if you take that out of the picture, no one has ever demonstrated, you know, that cholesterol in the blood can just spontaneously start to form plaque. You have to have damage to the blood vessel first. And that is what allows this cholesterol to then start to come into the blood vessel wall and start to build up in these plaques. So if you eliminate the insulin resistance, you eliminate the inflammation, you can effectively mitigate the heart disease risk.
This has been great, Dr. Avedi. I can't thank you enough. I want to shout out for anyone watching my channel, please go check out Dr. Avedi. Your book is amazing, stay off my operating table. Where else can people find you or learn more about what you're doing?
Yeah, so iFixHearts is really where to find me everywhere. You can go to iFixHearts.com. You can see all the ways that me and my team work with people to keep them off my operating table. I have a full telemedicine practice. We also have coaching programs. We have a community. Of course, the book is a great place to start. And iFixHearts is also across all social media where you'll find me.
That's great. I will have links to that in the description below. And I really encourage everyone to go check that out. Follow Dr. Avedi, support him. We got to elevate the voices of good doctors like Dr. Avedi. Looking forward to meeting you in a couple of days and filming you for our documentary.
Yes, definitely look forward to taking part in that. And thank you again for all that you're doing to spread the message, spread the word. I just am honored and blessed to be on this journey with so many good people and so many good physician colleagues along the way.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Before we wrap this video up, I have two important announcements. Number one, I want to give away Dr. Ovedia's book, Stay Off My Operating Table. Leave a comment down below. Were you scared of cholesterol? Has eating a proper human diet healed you? I'm going to randomly pick a comment and send you Dr. Ovedia's book. The second big announcement is this. I did two videos with Dr. Ovedia. And in the second one, he goes over my blood work, my cholesterol numbers. Everyone keeps asking about my cholesterol numbers. And I ask him about my congestive heart failure with carnivore. So stay tuned for that. Leave a comment down below and you can win Dr. Ovedia's book. Thanks so much for watching.